Hey, welcome to the She Heard podcast, hosted by author and speaker Laurie Green Westlake. On the She Heard podcast, we cover everything from a woman's role in the church to deep and unexpected dives into your favorite Bible heroes. Laurie's passion is to equip women with courage, boldness, and bravery through biblical study and inspiring narrative. Be sure to check out lauriegreenwestlake.com for additional resources. Welcome to the show.
Hello, it's Laurie Green Westlake with you again tonight and excited to be with you. Grab a cup of coffee or tea or whatever is your choice of beverage and let's get into some deep theological discussion tonight. Before we do dive deep though, pardon me, I come with tonight with somewhat of a burdened spirit over the devastating earthquakes in Turkey and Syria. I'm surprised at how these big, huge events can happen and how little they affect us. So I'm trying to take time to really ponder the horrors, not because I want to be macabre, but because it's easy. We see so many headlines that are so disturbing. It's easy that we just, for our own protection, just gloss over so many things. And I wanted to tell you that throughout the day, I've really prayed for the people of Turkey that Jesus Christ would use these opportunities to bring people to Him and use Christians and Christian warriors to go in and do rescue. It is a definite, devastating scenario. And I'm not sure if these are the birth pangs that Jesus talked about when he said there would be earthquakes in diverse places, as there have been earthquakes for the entire existence of the world. But I do know this, we are called to watch and pray. We are called to be watchmen. We are called to be alert. And so I wanted to share what I've been praying for, so that if you hadn't stopped and done that today, that might spur you to do that. Well, because I've been talking a lot with several people about the difference between complementarianism and egalitarianism, which are two opposing theological views of a woman's role in the church, I wanted to tell you where I stand. We won't take a deep dive into these different theological perspectives, but I will tell you this as we get started. I'm actually neither. I am an egalitarianism person. I don't even know. I need to create a word there. And what I'm saying is I do lean very heavily to the complementarianism side of theology, and that is that a woman plays a role in the church and a man plays a role in the church, and that we have these distinct job duties assignments that together are a picture of Jesus as the head of the church and the church body as the bride, which is a typology or a prophetic look at the kingdom of Christ coming in the thousand-year reign or in the eternal reign. I'm not clear on that, and I'm going to do more study on that. But I believe that everything in the Old Testament points to the New, and everything in the New is pointing to what is coming and where we're going. I don't think there's any question for any of us. We are not there yet. We live in a broken world, and we have been equipped with the Spirit of Christ to kingdom build and to regenerate and go through sanctification to become the holy, righteous people that He wants us to be and had originally created man to be. So let's talk about the Ezer, and we've talked about it before. And Ezer is the word that God used when He told Adam He was going to make him a helper. And please listen to my first episode 1 of season 1 podcast on the woman's role, God's role for women, is that the word ezer means more than a helpmate. In our culture, a helpmate is a secondary role, like an apprentice or someone who has come along to help because you're overwhelmed with all of your duties. You needed someone to help you, you know, help you pick up some pieces and carry them, which is an admirable and honorable role. I'm not putting that down. But in the original Hebrew, the word ezer was a word that God actually used to describe the action he would take on Israel's behalf when Israel was under threat or opposition or oppression. So when we apply that to what God had in mind when he made woman for her to be the ezer, because in other instances, that word is almost a military term or of God rushing in as a hero to save his people. So there was a reason that Adam in the garden needed someone to have his back, which makes the idea that Satan, as the serpent, went to Eve first to tempt evil and disobedience. The reason this makes sense, it makes a different kind of view of how we see the garden, is that if Satan could take out the gatekeeper, the ezer, the helper who had Adam's back, then the gatekeeper could do the rest by taking the forbidden fruit to Adam. This makes the whole affair a little more devastating, in my view, because the enemies of God went straight for what was supposed to be the champion of God, and that was the woman. Not that the man wasn't. The man is a champion. But it's not a mistranslation of the word ezer. It's just, in the Hebrew, it means something deeper and stronger than it does in the English language. And being married to a Bible translator, I have learned these things are very important. So as we move forward to the church and what Paul, everything that Paul has to say about the church, I, as I've said before, was spiritually raised in a very conservative church movement. And I loved every minute of my involvement in that. I learned to study the Bible. I was always encouraged to seek for myself and never take anyone else's word for anything. And I cherish those days. But as we grow in our faith, sometimes the things that we've been exposed to are challenged by other theologies. And I have been one of those people who has attracted, I just attract people, and women especially, that want to argue about a woman's role or perceived role in the church, believing that on the egalitarianism side of things, that a woman should be able to be a pastor. And I know there are many denominations where that's true, and good for you. Good for you. If you really feel like God has called you to do that and you have prayed through this and studied the word and that's still where you're standing, you know, I'm not ever going to point at someone and say you're wrong, because God has certainly changed my mind and shown me a lot of things. But the scriptures that I lean towards in a woman's role is the most important one to me is in Colossians 1:18, when Paul says that Christ is the head of the church. He's actually the savior of the body of Christ, but Christ is the head of the church. And as the head, the church is subject to him. And the man represents Christ, and the woman represents the church. So that's a role. So, and what is that a role for? Well, I believe that that is twofold, and I will tell you my first reason I believe this is that we are a typology of what is coming, whether it be in the thousand-year reign or in the eternal reign. But we are a typology right now. in our living out our lives through the church and serving through the church, we are showing the world how the corporate body that Christ has built and the church that he has built and his coming reign will look. Just as in the marriage, the woman represents the bride, which is the church, and the man represents the groom, which is Christ. So we're all playing these roles, and it doesn't mean that women are secondary or less worthy or less intelligent. True, we do not have the physical capabilities or giftings that a man does. So in a true battle, war on war situation, men are physically superior. But when we go back to that original meaning of the Ezer, and it is one of a rescuer, a guard, a powerful, discerning entity, we are as spiritually equipped and as spiritually strong as our male counterparts. We are just playing a different role. And in that, I am so comfortable because I am in a position, and let's just take my own husband and my own marriage as an example. I am in a position to offer counsel, to offer warnings, to say, hey, babe, let's talk about this because I've got red flags going everywhere. For me to even pull up scripture and reason together with him, it's not that a woman is never to question her husband. Oh, she is to question him because as Eve was supposed to have Adam's spiritual back, we are supposed to have our husband's spiritual back. And in the context of the church, and if you're not married, we women are to have the spiritual backs of the men that are leading and pastoring. And it is, I can't say this enough, it is not a secondary role. It is a powerful guardian role. And does that make any sense to you? Because suddenly I understand why in cultures across this world, women have been oppressed and veiled and beaten and sold because the enemy does not want us to rise up and take our role as strong spiritual warriors who can kick some major butt. So the second thing that I really like about this role playing is that just because we're not in the pastorate, and I have never had a desire to pastor a church. I admire all you pastors because that is just a job mess, a hot mess I wouldn't want to be involved in. But bless you. But I am a preacher and teacher of sorts, and like I'm doing this right now out there, and I feel that I'm not breaking any kind of rules because I'm a woman and a man may be listening. That's ridiculous. That is just silly, because I've been given special gifts and talents, and all women have been given special gifts and talents to work in the body of Christ. And if this is mine, that's what I'm doing, but I'm not doing it in the setting of a corporate church. And here's why, because in Ephesians 3:10, Paul talks about this mystery of Christ. Anytime I see the word mystery, I'm like, okay, that means there's been some things that have been confusing, and Paul's about to clear them up because they've been confusing for a reason. And in Ephesians 3:10, Paul is explaining how the corporate church should work and the roles we should play. And he says, it's so that the manifold wisdom of God might be made known through the church to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. Okay, that is so easy to gloss over, so I'm going to go backwards. First of all, it says we're told there are rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. That's plural. And that doesn't mean just Satan and some band of demons that he manages to move around the world to tempt us or mess up our plans. That is some kind of hierarchy that is in the invisible realm in the heavenlies that exist. And where that is and what it is, God is showing those entities, his plan for mankind, and it's played out through the church, through these roles that we play. So God's wisdom is being manifested to the rulers and authorities that are not of this earth, but it's also being manifested to the unbelievers on this earth. This is a mission I can get behind. If we are showing beings that are out there that evidently are watching because he's making his wisdom known to them through us. So evidently we're being watched. And if I'm doing this to exalt Christ, if I'm in this role to exalt Christ, then I am going to do this. And I'm not going to complain about not being able to be in the head lead positions. Now, when it comes to deacons or leadership teams or having a woman's voice in an elder board, you know what? I think there's some room for change there. And we'll go into that later because I really need to do more study. But here's the thing. I obviously have a big mouth. I obviously have a lot of strong opinions. And I'm very strong-willed if I would get on a podcast and talk about these things. And so I want to say I'm comfortable in this role. I have many opportunities to lead. I have many opportunities to speak up for Christ. And I have many opportunities to pray, and I have opportunity to let men take the lead because I got their back. And that's what Deborah, or as she's called in the Hebrew, Devorah, did in Judges. When a man, and we aren't told why a man was not available at that time to be a judge in Israel, but they had a woman judge. We'll dive deeper into her story, and I also cover her in a Bible study that I'm writing that my publisher plans to release at the end of summer, early August. And we'll take a deeper look at Devorah there, but I want to say there are biblical examples of when there is no man who either can or won't, we're not told the circumstances, but when a man doesn't step up or isn't available, absolutely women have the gift and the skills to lead. I don't think that's ever been a question. And I don't think men should be threatened by that. Men in the church should be threatened by that. And even more, I don't believe women should use that as an excuse not to get in and wrestle through the hard stuff. So this is my call, Ezer women, my She Heard, H-E-R-D. Let's step into our positions of power and let's use them to exalt our Christ and to show the entities in the airways that he does have a devoted bride, a devoted body, devoted women who don't need to play another role because there is just enough for us. Whew. So that's all I have for you today. I'm going to ask you for a favor. I'm going to ask you to like this podcast or rate it or share it because as women warriors, and if you're a man listening, if this is resonating with you or ringing your bell and you're like, wow, I get it, that we are all equally equipped, we are all equally worthy, but we all have different gifts and talents, and those are utilized in different ways, and not one of them is lesser than. They're just different than. And I'm good with that. So please do share it. This is how we're going to get the word out. And this is how we're going to get more people and teach more women about their spiritual strength, their muscles, how they can pray and make a difference, and how they can show up and reason together with the men in the church. Talk them through it. Share your discernment. Share your concerns. Share your insight. Share if the Lord is laying some kind of prophetic message on you, I don't know if your church would accept it, but you might just find people a little more willing to listen if we do step up and step out more often. I also want to leave you, as I promised, that every episode I would leave you with a practical look at service, the service of being brave. Last week we talked about writing to people the attributes of God that you saw in them to encourage them. This week I'm going to challenge you to take those two people and pray for them. Pray God's anointing. Pray God's presence. Pray that they learn their gifts and they walk in them in bold and mighty ways. And if we start this little movement and it multiplies, imagine the change we can make in this world. All right, check me out at lauriegreenwestlake.com, and we'll have coffee again in a couple of days.